Please be seated. I'm going to go a little out of order this morning. So if you would turn to page 8 of your bulletin, and you can remain seated or kneel, but let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. I'll explain all of that in a minute. But first, I wanted to tell you a little bit about what's going on this week in the church office. We will be replacing the carpet in the parish house and the library this week. Our treasurer is sick today, so he's not here, Mark Godwin. But he will tell you it's long overdue. But to be honest with you, I have been the holdup in this. The carpet is nasty, and it really does need to be replaced. But the fact is, I hate to spend money on that kind of stuff. But if I'm really being honest, the real reason that I was so resistant is because I didn't want to have to clean out my office in order for that carpet to be laid. But alas, it had to be done. And good Lord, I've got a lot of junk in my office. A lot of things I don't need, a lot of things I don't use, but for some reason, things that I've held on to. And every single one of you knows what I'm talking about. I was amazed. I was amazed at what I came across, but at the same time, it was also kind of like a trip down memory lane. I don't know why we all do that. Maybe we keep so much stuff because we think we might need it someday. Maybe it's something that provides us with comfort or makes us feel good. So we want to have it close by, even though we probably have it never made it out of the box since the last time we moved it. But it seems that we hold on to things for some reason, even when it makes no sense whatsoever. I laughed at myself because I had kept some things and couldn't remember why in the world I kept it in the first place. Maybe we are conditioned to do that as children. I don't know. I've told the story before about one of my nephews who at the age of 8 or 9 still was never very far away from his baby blanket. And that blanket grew nastier and nastier as the years went by, no matter how many times it was washed. But I'll also always remember a comment his mother made when she was asked if perhaps my nephew was getting a little old for that baby blanket. My sister-in-law kind of shrugged off the question and she said, "Well, it's not bothering me. And obviously it's not bothering him. When it does start bothering him, he'll let it go then." And I thought, how profound. Because that's true for every one of us and whatever it is that we hold on to. As long as something provides us with comfort or might potentially be needed, we're going to hold on to it, even if we can't remember why we kept it in the first place. And only when it becomes a burden or a bother do we ever even consider letting it go. I think that would make a pretty good sermon for this gospel text. I guess it would. Because letting go of stuff is hard, especially when we've been wronged. And forgiveness in today's gospel is something that every one of us struggle with, not only as Christians, but as human beings. We seem to need to hold on to things. Things like hurts or wrongs or slights, no matter how harmful they might be to us, or no matter how much they may clutter our lives. Because I'm afraid that in our modern times, we've reduced forgiveness into nothing more than sometimes hollow words like, I'm sorry, or I forgive you, something like that. And as a result, I'm afraid that we've lost some of the richness of the way these first century Jews would have understood forgiveness and why it's such an important part about being in covenant with God. How many times should we forgive? Peter wants to know. Well, what about 7 times? And Peter probably thought he was being pretty sharp with that answer, since Jewish law only required that you forgive someone 4 times. Now, Jesus says, what about 77 times? And then he goes on to tell this ridiculous story about kings and slaves and debt. And I guess picking apart all the metaphors in the parable could make a good little sermon too, but the truth is you've heard all those sermons. How many times should you forgive? 7? 77? Well, let me let you in on a little secret. This gospel text ain't about math, and it ain't about you. I don't believe that the issue in this text is how much or how often you're supposed to forgive. I think the issue in this text is that the act of forgiveness is already here. It's already a limitless, measureless act. Forgiveness is never not present in our lives and in our relationships. It's part and parcel of the kingdom of heaven. It is a constant, this text tells us. It is not optional, and it's not a choice as much as we might want it to be. Because you see, God has bestowed such blessing on us, such riches that we could have never earned and could certainly never repay. So God forgives that debt and expects us to do likewise. To forgive each other as God forgives us. That's the point of the story. But that's also hard to hear. Because we like cause and effect, order and measure. We want accountability. But if nothing else, this text tells us that there is no magic formula to determine what forgiveness should look like or feel like. Forgiveness is hard. It's hard and it's complex and it's uncomfortable. Forgiveness sets in motion a reflection that is sometimes deep and painful. It invokes memories of those we're reluctant to forgive. Thoughts of those who are waiting for our forgiveness and of things that seem and actually are unforgivable. So, what holds us back from forgiveness? What quid pro quo do we expect to make our forgiveness more palatable or possible? What causes us to hold on to things we no longer need and so serves no other purpose other than to clutter our own lives? I don't know. But I have an idea. I think maybe we hold on to things because they somehow comfort us. Or perhaps we're not ready or not willing to confront whatever the issues might be before us. I think we hold on to things because sometimes letting go is scary. It's scary to let go of our rightness, even when our rightness might be justified. But I also think there's a deeper truth in this gospel story. I began this sermon with our corporate confession of sin. And you may or may not have noticed, but at the end, I didn't say the absolution. Maybe in the context of today's gospel lesson, the absolution seems redundant. But whether you noticed or not, that lack of absolution just didn't feel right. And I think that's because when it comes to forgiveness, we most often view ourselves as the one who has been offended and not the one who has done the offending. And maybe our resistance to forgive is rooted in our resistance to believe that we ourselves can be forgiven. 7 times, 77 times, it doesn't matter because it's not up to you. That's how the kingdom of heaven works. And while we may never be able to do likewise, the trying makes all the difference in the world. So hear the words. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life, whether you like it or not. God love you. Amen.